A landmark study out of the Netherlands shows that most kids with gender dysphoria grow out of it before adulthood. Several new studies and stories continue to prove that the COVID jabs were ineffective poison, and health organizations continue to push booster after booster. Rebel News reporter David Menzies is arrested yet again after being assaulted by several pro-Hamas protesters. Our federal government continues to think that the solution to the problems they create is to throw more of our tax dollars at them. Our goal, as always, is to bring you news, culture, and politics from a distinctly Christian, conservative, and Canadian perspective. It's April 9th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. This is Liberty Dispatch News Brief. We want to remind you to make sure you sign up for our Politics in the Pulpit conference. This conference will help Christians engage in the political and cultural spheres in effective and godly ways. Rather than keep politics out of the pulpit, Christians must speak boldly and clearly into Canadian culture and politics. You can join us at one of three locations. We're going to be in Weston, Nova Scotia on April the 20th. That's just about 2 weeks away, and registration for Weston, Nova Scotia closes on Tuesday, April the 17th. So you have a week and a half to register for our Weston, Nova Scotia event. We're going to be in Ingersoll, Ontario on May the 4th and New Westminster, British Columbia on May 25th. You can, if you haven't already, head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit and register today. Seats are limited and registration will be running out soon enough. And Ingersoll will probably be another 2.5 weeks before registration closes for that. Also, if you want to support the conference endeavor and you think this is good, this is needed, this is valuable, we want to see something like this done well and done consistently in our country, and you are so inclined to support and want to donate toward the conference, then you can do so. You can contact us at churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com, and we'll help direct you to the appropriate place so that donations can be made in support of the conference. And any donations that are made will be eligible for a tax receipt as well, which means we can also receive donations from churches and charitable organizations. Again, that's libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit. Register today. You only have about a week and a half left to register for our April 20th event in Weston, Nova Scotia. I bet that you're growing more and more frustrated and concerned with the fiat money system here in Canada. And our episode today is going to highlight just how frustrating and concerning it is. I'm sure you're hoping for real options, a solution that works for you and values your liberty and security. Well, Barterit is here for you. It's a modern barter economy for freedom-loving Canadians to transact and exchange value without having to use fiat currency. Imagine Facebook Marketplace, Kijiji, and eBay all wrapped into one economic ecosystem. You offer your goods and services in exchange for bits credits, and you can use those bits to acquire other goods and services in the community. It's a parallel economy. Head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/barter today and click on Barter It for Individuals. That will be the box on the left. Make sure you sign up as a VIP before the official launch, and you will get $1,500 worth of value. That's $1,500 worth of value for only $197, including 1,000 bits to spend in the ecosystem. That's libertycoalitioncanada.com/barter. A new long-term study out of the Netherlands shows that the majority of children who are confused about their gender identity grow out of it and essentially revert back to normal by the time they're adults. The study tracked 2,700 children from the age of 11 until their mid-20s. So this is a long study. 11% of the children initially expressed what researchers called, quote, gender non-contentedness, close quote, or feeling their gender was different than their biological sex. And we can say confidently that most, if not all of that, is attributed to indoctrination, brainwashing, media entertainment bombardment and confusing kids with extreme gender ideological content in their schools. So it's probably not the case that they on their own came up with this. Nevertheless, you have about 11% of the children initially saying we have what they call gender non-contentedness. However, and even in the midst of this, by their mid-20s, only 4% of the adults say they felt the same way. So this is 1 in 25. Now, this is how the researchers conclude their study, and you're going to hear that they're trying so desperately to still further their narrative despite the results of the study. Quote, "The results of the current study might help adolescents to realize that it is normal to have some doubts about one's identity and one's gender identity during this age period, and that this is also relatively common," close quote. That, by the way, is their desperate way of saying, we didn't get the results we wanted because it shows that gender ideology is actually madness, so we're going to spin our conclusion to further our narrative in some sort of way. That's how they respond. Now, here's the correct response to this study, and this comes from the Daily Mail in the UK. Quote, Patrick Brown, a fellow at the Conservative Ethics and Public Policy Center, who is not involved in the research, told Daily Mail, this is what he said, "This study provides even more reason to be skeptical towards aggressive steps to facilitate gender transition in childhood and adolescence. The fact that rates of satisfaction are lower even just a few years later suggests that for the vast majority of people, prudence and caution rather than a rush towards permanent surgeries or hormone therapies will be the best approach for teenagers struggling to make sense of the world and their place in it. As such, policies that prohibit gender transition for minors make a great deal of sense." Close quote. Now, we oppose so-called transitioning at any age because God has designed people male and female, and it is always some form of pagan Gnostic idolatry to attempt to correct what God has set. Having said that, we should most definitely make it illegal for children who are growing and developing, including neurologically, to mutilate themselves in the name of false god worship. That would be the correct response. That would be the rational, godly, actually conforming to observable reality response. Now, if you want to see an example of an insane response to this kind of thinking, then you really have to look no farther than Quebec. This is a truly disturbing story from the National Post. Quote, "Ever since he was a child, he'd had incessant intrusive thoughts about his left hand's fourth and fifth fingers, the sensation that they weren't his, that they didn't belong to his body. At night, he'd wake from nightmares that his fingers were burning or rotting. The young Quebec man was so desperate to get rid of his fingers, he contemplated building a small makeshift guillotine. He couldn't imagine himself living for the years to come with those fingers, according to a recently published case report. Instead, a surgeon at his local hospital agreed to an elective amputation in what is being called the first described case of digits amputation for body integrity dysmorphia, or BID, a rare and complex condition characterized by an intense desire to amputate a perfectly healthy body part, such as an arm or a leg." I'll just say here as a side note, this is me, not the National Post. That's a very fancy way of saying some form of deeply disturbing mental illness where what you believe to be true does not comport with reality, such as paranoia or schizophrenia. This is something that needs to be dealt with in a way other than how they dealt with it in Quebec. But that's a fancy way of saying something is seriously wrong with this young man and his thinking if he believes this to be true. The article continues. Dr. Nadia Nadeau of the Department of Psychiatry at Université Laval wrote this in the journal Clinical Case Reports. So this is what she has to say, this ghoul. That's the only way I can put it. After undergoing elective amputation, the nightmares and emotional distress immediately stopped. The post-op pain resolved within a week. There was no phantom pain at 1 month follow-up. And without the two missing fingers, listen to this line here, okay? He was able to pursue the life he envisioned as a complete human being without those two fingers bothering him, close quote. That is absurdity. By cutting off the two normal, healthy fingers, he has rendered himself essentially an incomplete human being because he's taken body parts that should be there and removed them. So that's the reality. He, in the very real physical sense, is now an incomplete human being because he doesn't have 10 fingers. He only has 8. But according to this sociological, psychiatric gobbledygook from this demon, he now finally is a complete human being without the two fingers getting in the way. It's just madness. This, by the way, is why all trust in our medical industrial complex is lost. It is long gone, friends. Doctors are supposed to do no harm, but now doctors advocate for literally cutting your fingers off. How can you trust health officials? On that note, here is some more COVID news that, sad to say, I'm quite convinced we'll be dealing with for decades to come. After the economic and psychological effects of fear and lockdowns, as well as the physical effects of an experimental jab, I don't think we've yet seen the full weight of the damage. I think we're going to be unpacking this probably for the rest of my life in terms of the implications on children and grandchildren as it plays out in family and in societies. Like, it's, there is a, that we've only seen the tip of the iceberg in terms of what the last several years have done to people in our country specifically, but really in the world. So in any event, this comes to us from the Epoch Times. Quote, people who've taken at least 3 doses of the original version of the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine have been strongly immune imprinted, a study by the University of Washington found. Consequently, when vaccinated with the most recent COVID-19 XBB.1.5 mRNA boosters, recipients produced few to no antibodies specific to the XBB.1.5 variant. So I'm going to stop here for a second and say 2 things. 1, because we consume information that doesn't just come from Health Canada and CBC, Matt and I have been talking about immune imprinting because we got a chance to speak with Dr. McCullough and Dr. Malone, and we're looking at actual research. Immune imprinting has been a thing for a while that people have been talking about. So this is nothing new if you've been following the show. 2, that last little bit, they found that the boosters, the most recent boosters, which are supposed to provide protection for a particular variant, produced few to no antibodies for that variant. And this is what leads to what we call immune imprinting. So back to the article here. Immune imprinting occurs when previous infections or vaccinations leave such a strong immune memory that the body continues to produce immune cells and antibodies targeting the previous immune experience, even when exposed to a new variant or vaccine. Immune imprinting could be a problem if the person was unable to mount a useful immune response against a new variant, said Dr. Stanley Perlman, an immunologist and microbiologist at the University of Iowa. So this is why, okay, so that, close quote, this is why it is clearly the case, and I mean, we've referenced study after study showing that people who have multiple boosters, 1, are more likely to get COVID. 2, their symptoms are more intense. 3, they're sicker for longer. 4, the viral load that's located in their throat, in their upper respiratory tract, is greater. And 5, the anecdotal evidence of looking at ICU numbers and emergency room numbers of people who have jabs is way higher than not. So what's going on here? Because immune imprinting might be a little, people might be confused. I'll give an illustration to communicate what's going on. Suppose you're standing in the middle of a room. It's just a square room, and each of the walls has a door. So there's 4 doors, and you're in the middle of the room. Now, at any moment, a thug could come out of one of those doors and attack you. You don't know which one it is. So you stand in the middle of the room, kind of your head on a swivel, and you're thinking, I'll be prepared that depending whatever door opens, I'll be able to turn and deal with the thug and fight him off and defend myself. That's what you're doing. Now, let's assume you say, I'm going to stand directly in front of just one of the four doors. I'm going to just stand right in front of it. And your thinking is, I'm going to hope that the thug comes through this door. That way, if he does, I'm right here to meet him. The problem is, if a thug comes through one of the other three doors, you're not prepared, you're caught off guard, and the chances of you being attacked and being damaged are greater. That's what immune imprinting is. Immune imprinting is your immune system is in the middle of that room, and the four doors represent four different variants of a particular virus. So the way our bodies should work as we're exposed to viruses and different variants is we develop immunity to all of them. So where our immune system is standing in the middle of the room, ready to deal with a threat from any of the four doors. However, immune imprinting is when you receive boosters and you essentially train your body to only be able to defend or to hyper-focus on one variant. So your immune system now decides to stand directly in front of only one of the doors so that if the virus comes in from the other doors or another variant, your immune system is less prepared and less able to deal with it, which is why, again, people who've received multiple boosters would get COVID longer, stronger, and they get sicker because these multiple jabs have trained their immune systems to hyper-focus on an older single variant so that they are less able and less ready to deal with other variants. Immune imprinting is very serious. And here's another study showing that by taking jab after jab, still people taking boosters, all you're doing is increasing the chances of you getting sicker, worse, and for longer. And this, by the way, has been known by our health officials for years now. Nevertheless, they keep pushing this nonsense. Despite a difficult economy plagued by a significant increase in inflation, the overall stock market has been moving steadily higher since October 2022. Take this opportunity to align your investments with your values and protect and grow your wealth at the same time. Don't be like the slothful servant in the parable of the talents and bury your investments in the ground or hide them under a mattress. This is the time to put your money to work for you, your family, and for the kingdom. Call our friends at RockLink and get your investments working for you and the kingdom. You can call them at 905-631-5462, or you can email them info@rocklink.com. That's link with a C, info@rocklink.com. Rebel News reporter David Menzies has been arrested again for a third time, really in the last 6 or 8 months. And we've covered the first two arrests already on one of our programs. The first time he was arrested this year, it was for questioning Deputy Prime Tyrant Christia Freeland and for him getting body checked and assaulted by an undercover RCMP officer who clearly had too many steroids that morning. And he was he had crazy eyes. He was jacked up. That was the first time Menzies was arrested for getting body checked by a police officer. The second time he was arrested was for asking some Muslims who were pro-Hamas, anti-Israel protesters, standing in the middle of a Toronto street, telling Menzies, you need to leave now. We're praying. We're turning this public street into a mosque, and you can't disrupt our worship. And then police officers came and grabbed Menzies, pulled him away, asked for his credentials. He provided them, but they still arrested him and charged him with obstruction and failing to identify himself to a police officer. So totally bogus. Now, he's been arrested for a third time for, I kid you not, him being assaulted by pro-Hamas protesters. That's right. You can check the link in the description. He was asking questions and other people were laying hands on him, pushing his hand, grabbing at the microphone, his phone, draping Palestine flags over him, which is assault. So he was assaulted. And what did the Toronto Police Service decide to do? They arrested him. Of course, don't arrest the person who's assaulting. Arrest the one who's being assaulted. So Ezra Levant wrote this on Rebel. And listen, it's really hard to disagree with what he says here. It's really hard to disagree with him. Quote, David went over to ask them some questions. It's a matter of public interest, and they were in a public place. But Toronto police swooped in to arrest him. The police were actually acting as the bodyguards of the Hamas bigots. Once he's free, we are going to file the mother of all lawsuits against this two-tier policing that allows Hamas hate marchers to terrorize the city with impunity, but cracks down on peaceful journalists like David, close quote. Now, if only Menzies were calling for the death of all Jews, then the Toronto police bullies would have gladly brought him Tim Hortons coffee and donuts, which totally sucks, by the way. I don't know if you're buying your coffee at Tim Hortons, it's gross, and the donuts are also gross. And Tim Hortons is a super woke, disgusting organization that wouldn't let kids go to their camp a couple years ago unless they had proof of injection. So Tim Hortons is to be abandoned because they actually hate freedom and they hate Canadians. Oh, and there was a whole kerfuffle about them actually tracking your location in an unfair way if you had the app installed on your phone. So we're going to dump all over Tim Hortons. What you need to be doing, instead of you buying your coffee from that garbage company, is you need to be buying your coffee from Resistance Coffee. And by the way, make sure you use the promo code Liberty10. That's the word Liberty, number 10, when you go to resistancecoffee.com to get 10% off your entire purchase at the checkout. But speaking of what happens when a country is flooded with people whose worldview is directly opposed to the values that established said country, here is a rare moment of Justin Trudeau being honest, even if it's set up with utter nonsense and a lot of narrative crafting, regarding the effect that immigration is having on Canada.
You recently said your government is working on both housing supply and demand by turning the dial down on temporary immigration. Does that mean your government's immigration policy has contributed to record high housing unaffordability?
It's really important to understand the context around immigration. Every year, we bring in about 450, now close to 500,000 permanent residents a year. And that is part of the necessary growth of Canada. It benefits our citizens, our communities. It benefits our economy. These are the levels that we have stabilized and grown steadily over the past years, because that's what Canada needs to continue to have a strong economy and strong communities. However, over the past few years, we've seen a massive spike in temporary immigration, whether it's temporary foreign workers or whether it's international students in particular, that have grown at a rate far beyond what Canada has been able to absorb.
If he weren't a wicked leader, that would have gone something like this. Is it fair to say that the immense amount of immigration is contributing to the housing issue? Yes. That would have been the simple answer. But instead, what he said is blah, 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 blah. Maybe a lot of people coming to our country hasn't really been the best. Right now, this is the situation in Canada. Maybe if you're in the middle of Nowheresville, you're out in the sticks, or you're out in some very rural area, maybe it's a little bit different. But even then, I know and talk to people, it's pretty bad everywhere. But this is a situation if you're anywhere near any kind of semblance of city life. Housing is either unavailable or extremely expensive. Crime is up in major cities. Protests with open calls for the genocide of Jewish people and streets being taken over with Muslim prayer are now regular occurrences. Also, much of this comes at a cost to taxpayers. Here's a story from the Post-Millennial. Quote, a report from Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada shows that the annual cost to provide living accommodations to so-called asylum seekers amounts to approximately $115 million. Data from the report disclosed that between February 2023 and February 2024, the tourist city accommodated nearly 5,000 asylum seekers at the cost of $208 per day for each individual. All of them were provided taxpayer-funded accommodations for at least 113 days. The majority of these refugee claimants are from Venezuela, Kenya, Nigeria, Colombia, and Turkey, according to the report. The numbers were disclosed after Conservative MP Tony Baldinelli raised a query about the issue in the House of Commons last month. The expenses that were reported included costs for food, accommodation, services, and security measures. However, comprehensive monitoring of such expenditures was lacking in early 2023, according to the Immigration Department, which classified these figures as a conservative approximation of the full costs. Furthermore, complete accounting for expenses incurred as of January 1st, 2024 is still pending on account of outstanding invoices, according to the outlet, close quote, so it probably cost more than $115 million. It's also worth noting that at least three of the countries mentioned in there are populated by people who are the same kinds of people marching through the streets of major cities in Canada, calling for the literal murder and genocide of Jewish people. I'm just saying, that is simply a fact. This is where we are. Now, the right answer to all of this madness is to do two things. One, cut back on spending. Two, lessen immigration. The answer from our federal government, however, well, have a listen.
People are being priced out of their communities, and that's not okay. So we have to help nonprofits and community partners acquire units and preserve rents at a stable level. That's why we're here to announce the $1.5 billion Canada Rental Protection Fund.
We will invest $1.5 billion in the new fund for rental protection, $1 billion in loans, and $470 million in contributions. Let's say that we have a building on sale. These loans and these contributions will help a company, a non-for-profit organization, to buy this building. They will also be able to renovate and preserve these units and the prices.
Rental Protection Fund will aim to mobilize investments and financing from the charitable sector, private sector, and other orders of government in order to maximize the ability to acquire and protect affordable housing.
I have to say, by the way, that was the most brainwashed, unenthusiastic, train seal applause I think I've heard. I mean, it might be the case that they've all been wearing their mask for so long that the oxygen cutoff is, oh, are we clapping now? Or it could be the seven boosters that have totally wrecked their thinking. But in any event, you'd think they'd be you think a bunch of commies would be happier about spending $1.5 billion of our dollars. And they were, I guess, kind of happy, you know, coming out of their COVID jab-induced stupor. But like right away, spending $1.5 billion to help organizations buy up properties, this is communism. It's income redistribution. That's theft. And it's only going to devastate our already crippled economy all the more. But did you catch that little bit at the end? Right at the end, like when he started off, he said charitable organizations and nonprofit and community groups. So that's what he said at the beginning. But at the very end, did you hear what he squeaked in there when he said other orders of government? Does that mean that they will be spending our money to help government organizations and bodies buy up properties, properties that have gone for sale because of policies and spending from that same government? You better believe it. You better believe it. In other words, the federal government, through policies and wasteful spending, made it impossible for businesses to exist, and these businesses have to sell their buildings at drastically reduced prices. Then the federal government will take the money that they stole from us from schemes such as the carbon tax, and they will use it to buy the buildings that we had to sell because of their wickedness. This, by the way, is exactly what they did in New York State right before Governor Cuomo was given the boot. His State of the State address, he specifically said, oh, we've seen so many businesses and so many properties and buildings decimated by COVID, but we're not going to leave them vacant. No, of course not. We're going to buy them out, and the government will make money off of them, whether it's government-controlled rental properties or weed dispensaries. So he out in the open, Governor Cuomo said, we crushed your business. You either defaulted, which means you lost it altogether, or you had to sell it at really, really cheap. And the state will come in, we'll buy it, and we'll make money off of it. That's what Trudeau's talking about here when he says other orders of government. It's, we destroyed your livelihood. Now we are going to buy your reduced property with the same money that we stole from you to begin with. That is utter wickedness. And this is the state of leadership in Canada. So how do we wrap up this episode? Well, unless you were under a rock or you've been in a coma for the last month, yesterday was the solar eclipse. And where I live, I happen to be right in the path of totality. So for 3 minutes, we got to see the total solar eclipse for 3 minutes. By the way, flat earthers, I'm sorry, your theory is basically in the garbage after yesterday. I don't know how you can recover from what I saw in the sky. Your ideas don't work. You're a little loony. We might have just lost some listeners and subscribers. That's fine. If you're a flat earther, you're a little out of there. So here's what I saw. God holds all of the planets in place, and he maintains our universe by the word of his power. Then he allows us to see what, for me, by the way, given the last and the next total solar eclipse, it was for me a literal once-in-a-lifetime celestial event that, by the way, for the Lord, is no big deal. It was 3 p.m., and it was as dark as the evening. I've seen pictures of that ring of sunlight around the moon. People posted pictures online. I've seen pictures of what a solar eclipse looks like in the past with very, very, the most expensive, highest quality cameras. And I can tell you that no video or image compares to what I saw with my own eyes in the sky. It was magnificent. It's difficult to capture. No video or picture can capture it. But seeing again what I'll probably never see again for the rest of my life, which is kind of weird to think about. But what I saw in the sky, it was something else. I mean, it was marvelous to see that and see the effects of it. And people, everyone in the park was also, you could tell, they responded verbally. It was awe-inspiring. God causes all of this to be, and he sustains it. Therefore, petty tyrants and their corruption are no match for the King of the universe. None. They got nothing on him. Nothing to be afraid of. Take heart, dear listener. Hear the words of Psalm 93. Quote, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mighty than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Close quote. There is nothing for us to be afraid of. The same God who caused that magnificent event to happen yesterday, which for him takes essentially no effort at all, is the God who rules and reigns even over the wicked leaders that govern our country. There you have it, friends. You're all up to date. Make sure, as I've said already, you head over to resistancecoffee.com, buy some good coffee, use that promo code Liberty10. That's the word Liberty, the number 10. I don't know why you buy your coffee from anywhere else. And if you're buying from Resistance Coffee, then you should be using that promo code because, I don't know, maybe you're the sort of person that 10% off is like, whatever. I swim in pools of $100 bills. But if you're like the average Canadian, 10% off is a pretty sweet gig. And I want to remind you, you have to make sure to register for our Politics in the Pulpit conference. Head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politicsinthepulpit. Register today. Weston, Nova Scotia is just 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away. Registration closes on April the 17th. Ingersoll, Ontario, selling fast, is just 2 weeks after that on May the 4th. And registration will probably close sometime that week. So May the 2nd, May 1st or 2nd will be when registration closes for Ingersoll, Ontario. And yes, don't be like the grasshopper. Don't be like the sluggard that waits until it's too late. Even though our event in New Westminster, BC is more than a month away, you still need to make sure that you register for that as well. You're not going to want to miss this conference. It's going to be a good one. Until next time, friends, Galatians 5:1. Liberty Dispatch has been brought to you in partnership with Liberty Coalition Canada and Christian Week, and has been produced by SDG Media. You can find all things Liberty Coalition Canada at libertycoalitioncanada.com.